Good evening. Dale and Dina were here first, and we were wondering if anybody would show up in rain. And turns out that a lot of brave ones out there in our church. So as I already told some of you, those who have come tonight for the worship will get the special stickers on your forehead. I welcome all those of you who have come to join us via Zoom, and you may not get the special stickers, but I recognize you. And toward the end of the worship, there will be a time of meditation, and I prepare a music. Deb, you can see that music in there. And then we'll have some moments of meditation and prayer. And those of you who have come to join us via Zoom, you can still remain in there and have meditation at home and listen to the beautiful inspirational songs and be in the spirit of prayer together. So if you would, let us all stand at this time and join me in the call to worship. Lend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Let us sing together now, The Old Rugged Cross.
Cherish the old rugged
Let's read the readings from Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You may be seated, and let us continue our worship by praying the prayer confession. O merciful Father, in compassion for your sinful children, send your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. Grant us grace to fill and lament our shares of the evil that made it necessary for him to suffer and to die for our salvation. Help us by self-denial, prayer, and meditation to prepare our hearts for deeper penitence and a better life, and give us a true longing to be free from sin through deliverance won by Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Let us continue our worship by singing Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
My only shame, my glory.
of God for tonight is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. interesting about this particular text is that right before this occasion, Peter confessed Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of the Living God, right? And Jesus was so impressed by his confession. And then the, chapter 17 is the place where Jesus transfigured. Jesus took Peter, John, and James up to the mountain and transfigured right there. So there are very important moments, meaningful to Peter especially, right in between. And what we are about to read is a little different from what we kind of expect. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples, that means after Peter's confession of Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of the Living God. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you are setting your mind not on the divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeits their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in glory of his Father, and then will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Peter was known for speaking impulsively and acting rashly. The passage we just read highlights these typical aspects of his personality. When Jesus told the disciples that he must suffer and die in Jerusalem, but would rise again, Peter took him aside and rebuked him. These two actions reveal how seriously Peter took the matter. When something weighs heavily on our hearts, we often choose to address it privately rather than publicly. And Peter's decision to pull Jesus aside shows the gravity of what he had in mind. Moreover, his boldness in rebuking his own teacher was an extraordinary act. His word further emphasize the intensity of his concern. And I'm going to use the translation from the New International Version. Peter said, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Just a moment before this occasion, Peter had confessed Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of the Living God. Jesus highly commended Peter for this confession, making it the very foundation upon which he would build his church. By this time, Peter recognized Jesus was the Messiah, but it never occurred to him that the Messiahship involved carrying the cross. He did not realize that his objection to Jesus' suffering and death was, in fact, a denial of the very Messiah he had just confessed. Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are the stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Notice the contrast in Jesus' words, the concerns of God versus human concerns. These words reveal the reason behind Peter's inability to understand the cross. Peter's perspective was limited to human concern, viewing the cross from a human point of view rather than through God's point of view or God's divine plan. From a human perspective, the cross often seems unnecessary, nothing more than pointless suffering. To Peter, the cross represented needless pain without purpose. Like Peter, we are often quick to view our own crosses in life as burdens without meaning. And believe it or not, I have often arrived at that place in my life. When Jesus spoke of his suffering and death, Peter couldn't comprehend why such pain was necessary. His actions reflected this mindset. Denying Jesus and fleeing when the crucifixion took place. Peter's human interest in self-preservation blinded him to the greater purpose of the cross. A tradition tells of Peter's later years in Rome, where persecution against Christians was rampant. Fearing for his life, Peter decided to leave the city. Perhaps even at this stage, Peter still struggled to grasp the full meaning of the cross, not realizing that he had his own cross to carry. As the story goes, while walking along the Via Appia near the site where the Chiesa del Domine Quo Vadis. You are familiar with the Domine Quo Vadis. Quo Vadis is a movie made of describing Peter, right? It means the Church of the Lord, where are you going? That's what it means. That's the name of the church. That's where the church now stands. He was walking along in that place. Peter encountered a vision of Jesus walking toward the city. Shocked, Peter asked, "Domine quo vadis?" Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, "I'm going to Rome to be crucified again." At that moment, something in Peter changed. He turned around, returned to Rome, and willingly faced arrest and execution. Feeling unworthy to die in the same manner as his Lord, Peter asked to be crucified upside down. A powerful testimony of his transformation and acceptance of the cross he was called to carry. Sometimes we try to run from our crosses because we view them through a human perspective. We mistake our crosses as unnecessary burdens that bring only needless pain. But there is a better way to look at them, and that is through the lens of God's perspective, God's concerns. God has plenty of good reasons to give us crosses. They are not meant to harm us, but to benefit and build us up. Our crosses remind us that we belong to Jesus. They reveal that God has specific purpose and plan for our lives, shaping the course of our journey. Through them, we grow in faith, maturity, and resilience. Our crosses validate our suffering, reminding us that we are not wasting away in pain, but fulfilling God's will. Even more, we are never alone in carrying our crosses. Jesus walks with us every step of the way. Through serving in many parishes over the last four decades, I have gained one very important insight. I mean, isn't that funny? It has taken 40 years to learn this lesson. But it's true. I mean, you may have learned it long before. The lesson was, life does not necessarily become easier or pain-free as the years go by. Many professionals accumulate knowledge and experience that make their job easier with time. But in ministry, I have learned that no two people are the same and no two situations are alike. Each parishioner carries unique burdens and every church faces different challenges. So I don't get to have any break. And there is no one-size-fits-all solution. In fact, life can become tougher and more painful. Yet it is deeply comforting to know that God knows our pain. Even when our suffering seems to bear no visible fruit, it connects us to the pain of the cross that Jesus endured. In those moments, we participate in Jesus' suffering. At the end of our journey, after we have carried all our crosses, I know you all have not just one, but many crosses to carry. But at the end of our journey, after we have carried all our crosses, God promises to reward us with the crown of life. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the need we all have to renew our faith. Therefore, I invite you in the name of the church to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. To make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, we are going to prepare ourselves to come before our Creator and stand alone before Him and receiving the ashes on our forehead will be that moment. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And I'd like to invite you to come forward at this time to receive the imposition of ashes. So please come. Remember your cross. Deb, remember your cross. Young, remember your cross. Austin, remember your cross. David, remember your cross. Becky, remember your cross. Remember your cross. Judith, remember your cross. Colleen, remember your cross. Dina, remember your cross. Wait, just a minute.
Rachel. You've been faithfully carrying your cross very well. Keep up your good work.
And we're going to have moments of silence and prayer at this time. So please feel free to sit where you are. And pray together. Or if you'd like, you can come and have a moment of silence in front of the cross. And then go back to your seat so that others may have ways to, I mean, their time to come and then have their own moment as well. So we're going to have that moment of silence and prayer at this time. And after you are done, you may feel free to leave the sanctuary in silence. Would you turn the music, please, Deb?
Tell me. Obey thy will.